In preparing my heart, Lord, what do you have for this location and for me to share? Again, the blessing of the Lord was ringing in my heart. And how blessed we really are, and how blessed we're going to be as we understand and come to understand the blessing of the Lord in our lives and mix faith with it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Notice that the blessing of the Lord makes us rich, and God doesn't add any sorrow to it. Now, I've been sharing for a couple of months on finances and just getting our house in order, in our homes, our house in order, in our churches, and our business community. That's another house in your life in order to prepare for the things that are ahead, because I still sense in my spirit there's some challenging times ahead. But while I taught on prosperity and God's will to bless and prosper us in that way, God separates the blessing of the Lord from my riches. Things are not necessarily blessings in my life. I don't know I'm blessed because I look at the car I drive or the home I live in and the clothes I wear and the accumulation of all my stuff. Look, I'm blessed. Look at my stuff. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He separated the blessing even from my riches, because the blessing of the Lord is not a tangible thing. It's an intangible thing that when you mix faith with it, begins to affect tangible things. So I have to understand the blessing of the Lord and continually be mixing faith with the blessing of the Lord in my life, and it will make me rich. It will make you rich. And God won't add any sorrow to those riches. You know, there's ways to get rich that with it can come much sorrow. Matter of fact, you can get stuff in a certain way where the stuff owns you instead of you owning the stuff, and it can make you miserable. It can begin to rule your life. It can begin to dominate you. A lot of people live their whole life to make more money and to be successful and build a great business, thinking the whole time, I'm going to build this business, I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to get to go do what I want. And they don't even know they build a monster that now they got to feed that owns them. And much sorrow can come with riches acquired in the wrong heart, wrong spirit, in the wrong way. So the blessing of the Lord, it's going to make us rich. And God won't add any sorrow to it. God won't add any sorrow to it. Well, what is the blessing of the Lord? I'm going to run you through some things quickly that are on my heart and just pray again that we continually learn to mix faith with the blessing of the Lord, because it will make you rich in understanding. It'll make you rich in happiness. It'll make you rich in wisdom. It'll make you rich in material gain. It'll make you rich in relationships. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich, and God won't add any sorrow to it. But we've got to understand as the people of God that the things of God are not hocus pocus. They're not like just magic. And the blessing of the Lord, and it's just going to come on you, and things are just going to happen for you, and you don't have to cooperate with it or, again, mix faith with it. I have to continually be mixing faith with the blessing of the Lord to continually see the riches God has for me come into my life, the riches God has for our churches, our locations. How many of you know that the blessing of the Lord could make us rich in effect in this community? Okay, that didn't connect. The blessing of the Lord and us mixing faith with the blessing of the Lord could make us rich in impact, influence, making a difference for good. And so I want to mix faith individually with the blessing of the Lord. And as a body, we need to continually be mixing faith with the blessing of the Lord. Now, again, the blessing of the Lord is an intangible thing that when you mix faith with it, changes tangible things, material things. What is the blessing of the Lord? Number one, it's God's favor in your life. God's divine favor. You are a blessed man, a blessed woman, when you see God has favored you, that he has given you divine favor through your simple faith in Jesus Christ. It is God's anointed, empowering word spoken over you. When God speaks over your life a word, that's a blessing. When God gives you a promise, everybody say promise. When God gives our church a promise, when it's judged and it is found out to be the word of the Lord, that is a blessing. That is the blessing of the Lord. An empowering word, an empowering promise because God always binds himself to his word. His covenant he will not break nor alter the thing that comes off of his lips. When God says something over you, that's a blessing because he binds himself to it to bring it to pass in your life. And all you got to do is trust him. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is receive. So it's kind of like if you have a parent with integrity. Now, I know that's a rare commodity, but it's possible that you have a parent with integrity. If a parent says to you, I promise you this, man, you can shout now because it's on them to bring it to pass, not you. Everybody okay? That's why when somebody makes me a promise, I get excited because they promised. They didn't say, now, I'm going to do this if you do this, this, and this. That's not exciting news usually because I'm irresponsible and incompetent in many ways. So if they say, I'm going to do this if you'll do this, this, and this, that's not a blessing. But if they say, Dwayne, I'm going to do this, period, then it's based on their character and their nature that it comes to pass, not mine. When God tells me he's going to do something in my life, man, I need to shout. That's a blessing because he binds himself to that and he'll bring it to pass. If God says something over our church, we can shout because that's a blessing. And as we mix faith with that, God is the one that promises and God is the one that performs. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Usually, because we don't understand a blessing, God promises and we try to perform. And we mess everything up. A blessing is an empowering word from God. And God performs his blessing in our life. Now watch this. Number three, the blessing of the Lord. What is it? It's God's acceptance and complete forgiveness. If you've been forgiven of all your sins, you're blessed. The blessing of the Lord has come to you in the person of Jesus if you're forgiven of all your sins. What a blessing. See, the blessing of the Lord is his forgiveness in my life. That's why I can stand up here and say, I am blessed. And the blessing of the Lord has come upon me. What do I mean by that? I'm not talking about I'm better than somebody else. I've done something others haven't done. I've achieved something others haven't achieved. And I'm God's pet child now because of me. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm totally forgiven of all of my sins. I'm made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I stand before a holy, righteous God, the God of the universe, the God of the cosmos. And I'm made righteous, completely accepted and forgiven. Oh my God, I am a blessed man. And you are a blessed man if you're forgiven. If you're forgiven, you're a blessed man. Because God and only God can take away our sins. God and only God can make us righteous. I can't do enough to be made righteous. I can't quit enough to be made righteous with the very righteousness of God. But Jesus, through his atonement, through his perfect work on the cross, bearing my sins and the punishment of God for my sins, through my simple faith, has blessed me. The blessing of the Lord has come upon me. I am a forgiven man, completely accepted in the presence of God. Number four, I've already said it, any promise from God is a blessing. Any promise from God is a blessing. Number five, his covenant word to you. His covenant word to you. This is a blessing because God has bound himself to this. And the good news for you and I tonight is God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for all. What he makes available for one, he makes available for all. And all we got to do is mix faith with it. God has bound himself to this. This is a blessing in our lives because it's the promises of God. And all of these promises, thousands of them, are yes and amen in Jesus to the glory of God. Whatever God promised you, the answer is yes in Jesus. Any promise God has ever made is yes and amen in Jesus to the glory of God. Now, let me show you this in the scriptures because I wasn't taught this coming up. And I just value deeply the things that God has taught me that's really had an impact on me. Because I really believe anything God shows me that impacts me is really not for me, it's for his people. That's why I want God to continue to bless me because I want to be a blessing to you. So how does God bless me? How does God bless, period? Go to Genesis chapter 1 and let me show you the blessing of the Lord and how the Lord blesses. Genesis chapter 1. And let's start at the beginning and work our way through. And these are one of those times, again, I wish I was with you all week, and let's just lay a foundation. We'll come back tomorrow night and jump on it again the next night, the next night, the next night. No, don't do that. I appreciate it. That's nice. I feel warm and fuzzy, but one of the reasons that I had to fly in instead of drive in is Sue saw an ice storm coming, and she didn't want me to get stuck down here. She wanted me to get home. But I got to thinking about it. It wouldn't have been too bad to be stuck down here. Everybody right here's got a gun. I need a gun. And I've gained a little bit of weight, so somebody's got to have some camo that'll fit me. But I think Sue knew that. And that I could be stranded for a whole week in the name of Jesus. So, I'm just going to have to highlight this and bless you. Now, how do I bless you? Watch this. You'll understand what I mean when I ask God, make me a blessing, and I want to bless the people. Because, see, I can't give all of you a car, but I can still bless you. I can't buy all of you a home. You know, somebody would say, that's a real blessing, but I can still bless you when I understand the blessing of the Lord, and you understand it. Now, look at Genesis chapter 1. We'll go to verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Look at verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and the fowl multiply in the earth. God blessed the animals. Now, how did God bless an animal? Did he give him a Cadillac? Did he give him a 243 with a scope? Thank you, Jesus. I believe I receive. Did he? How do you bless an animal? He blessed the animals. How does God bless? Look at it again, verse 22. And God blessed them, saying. And God blessed them, saying. God said, be fruitful and multiply. God spoke over them, and it was an empowering word. And because God said it, that made it possible, and so. So the animals got blessed because of something God said. What's wrong with you? I wasn't being mean. Evidently, that came out wrong. God blessed the animals by speaking over them. What's wrong with us? Why won't we, when God speaks over us, go, man, I'm blessed? Yeah, but I want my Cadillac. Yeah, but I want things. See, people live in this world, they want things, stuff, and we need things, and we need stuff. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying blessings are not necessarily things. Things can become blessings. Things that come out of the blessing of the Lord in your life can be a blessing. But the blessing of the Lord is his spoken word over your life. Now go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. How did God bless them? By speaking over them multiplication. By speaking over them fruitfulness. By speaking his word over them, and they mixing faith with it, they now were able to take dominion and subdue the earth. The blessing of the Lord is his word spoken over you. His empowering word, a promise that he performs in our lives. The way he blessed them was by speaking over them. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now watch this, verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now we got God blessing a day. Now if a day can get blessed, what's wrong with us? Sorry, it's going to connect any minute. God blessed a day. Now, how did God bless Saturday? What made Saturday more blessed than Sunday? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why was Saturday blessed? What made it blessed? Was the sky on Saturday bluer than the rest of the day of the week? What made Saturday blessed? The spoken word of God over it. God said it was sanctified. God separated it. How did he separate it? With his word. How did God sanctify you? With his word. It is the word of God that sanctifies us. It's the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word sanctifies you. It sets you apart. God's word is what blesses you. God's word is what makes you a blessing. God's word is everything to you. Get in the word. Believe the word. Accept the word. When God says you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, shout. Now you're getting better. I didn't mean shout now, but I'm saying shout because praise God, if God says he made me righteous, I must be. I'm blessed because God said it. That's the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich, and God will add no sorrow to it. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Man, if God can bless a day, how much more can he bless a people? If God can bless fish and whales and birds, there's hope for you. You ever thought about it? You ever thought, well, who am I? I'm just a misfit. I'm an accident waiting to happen. I'm just breathing somebody else's air. You are a human being created in the image and in the likeness of God. You came from God Almighty, created in your mother's womb by God. And God, through his word, has sanctified you, has blessed you. He has said some things over you that the quicker you listen to what God has said and mix faith with what God has said, the intangible blessing of the Lord, the empowering word of God in favor of God and acceptance and love of God in my life, over my life, when I mix faith with it, starts to affect tangible things all around me. You can take my tangible things. The economy can fluctuate and economies come and go. Jobs come and go. The Dow Jones is up and down, but the blessing of the Lord, it is forever in my life and it makes me rich. It makes me rich. And God adds no sorrow to it. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I mean, we need to get it. Blessed, 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 blessed. How did God bless Abraham? By speaking a promise over him. Just by saying it. I mean, there's a place that you'll come to, dear ones, I promise you. If you stick with this long enough, work your way through things, endure hardship as a good soldier. Stuff happens to all of us. We live in a fallen world, but you stick with it. There's a place going to come to all of your lives that has come and is continuing to come to me, that once I see God saying something to me, and that is for me and over me, I am blessed. And I just mix faith with it. God said it, and that made it so. God spoke it, and that empowering word brought it to pass. All the nations of the world are blessed in Father Abraham. I'm going to make your name great. Just God saying that, that's it. You might as well just shout. You're going to have a great name if God says he's going to make your name great. Because the God who says it performs it. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. Now that's the one that rings in me the most. And we're all different. We gravitate to certain promises of God, and that's okay. Some things resonate more in others than others. But the thing that resonates in me in that blessing that God, our Father, made to our father Abraham is that I'm going to bless you and all nations in you shall be blessed. That's us. And I'm going to make you a blessing. And anybody blesses you, I'm going to bless. Anybody curses you, I'm going to curse. I not only desire and hunger for the blessing of the Lord and the reality of it, the intangibleness of it, but mixing faith with it, touching tangible things, I just want to be a blessing to other people. I met a man tonight that, man, just humbles me that this guy even wants to meet me. There was a time in my life nobody wanted to meet me. Come on. It still humbles me that anybody wants to meet me. God has blessed me, but more than that, He's made me a blessing. God has blessed you, and He wants to make you a blessing in this town. He wants to make you a blessing in your home. He wants to make you a blessing in the workplace. He wants to make you a blessing on that city council. He wants to make you a blessing in this state. He wants to make you a blessing in this country. It all starts with mixing faith with the blessing. God has spoken some things over me, and I'm going to believe it. I'm going to mix faith with the blessing of the Lord. Galatians 3:13 says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham has come on the Gentiles through Christ. What is the blessing of Abraham? I'm going to make your name great. God wants to make our name great. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. Others are going to be blessed in you and by you. That's ours through Jesus Christ now. And so we need to believe that God wants to do great things in our lives. Now, I don't want to condemn anybody into greatness, but we don't desire greatness like previous generations. We need to believe that God wants to do miracles in our lives and that we can change our world. Now, I know for some people that's just too huge that I can change my world. But it all starts with changing your immediate orbit, your immediate world in your family, and you can make a difference. Through the blessing of the Lord, the Word of God over your life and mixing faith with it, the empowering Word of God, the favor of God, the forgiveness of God in your heart and life, you can make a profound difference in your immediate world. And in time, I believe God wants every one of us to be world changers. He wants every one of us to have impact. He wants every one of us to believe with all our heart that in our lifetime, we truly can make a difference in this world. Why can't you and I make a difference in our lifetime? Other men and women in their lifetime have changed the world. Amen. Now, not all of them have changed it for good. Hitler changed the world in his lifetime, but not for good. Amen. A women, A everybody. We don't have any confused people in here thinking Hitler was a good guy, do we? Okay, you made me nervous on that one. Make sure I'm communicating here. There are people in a lifetime that really change the world. Why can't it be some of us? It can be if we trust God and we mix faith and we live for God. We can change our world in the course of a lifetime because of the blessing of God. Now, my favorite passage as far as a blessing, Numbers chapter 6. If you've been with the ministry very long, you've known me to quote this over you, speak it over you. I do it a lot in Durant. I actually haven't done it recently, and I need to do it again. But again, we're talking about the blessing. What is the blessing of the Lord? Because it will make you rich, and God will not add any sorrow to the blessing of the Lord in our lives, in our lives. Now, Numbers, this is interesting to me. This was spoken to the high priest and the priest to speak over the children of Israel. And every husband, every father in Israel was the priest of his home. They understood in their culture, and we need to get back to it, that guys, you're the priest of your home. You're not the dictator of the home. But you are the priest, and you have priestly duties, and you need to speak a blessing over your wife. Can I get a witness? Amen. Ladies, I need a better witness. Amen. You need to call them things that be not, as though they were, instead of calling things that are, wishing they weren't. Do I need to elaborate? Time would fail me, and I like life. We'll let that go. We, as the priest of our home, need to speak a blessing over our children continually. They spoke this blessing. The father of the house spoke this blessing over the wife and the children every day. The priest and the high priest spoke this blessing over the congregation continually. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," God's talking, "speak unto Aaron," that's the high priest, "and unto his sons," that's the priest, "saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them," I want you to bless my people. How do I bless your people? There's hundreds of thousands of them. Do I have to give them a car to bless them? Do I have to buy them all a home to bless them? Do I have to do this and buy them this and get this thing and that thing to bless them? Now, I'm not being critical. I'm trying to help us in our thinking. And there's nothing wrong with what I'm about to say unless you mix it up with the blessing of the Lord. But people give me stuff even, and I'll say, boy, that sure is a blessing to me. Now, I really know what I mean. I know I'm not literally saying it's the blessing of the Lord and a blessing. And what I really mean by that is I know you wouldn't be giving that to me if it wasn't for the blessing of the Lord on my life. Because when I didn't have the blessing of the Lord, you didn't do nothing for me. Right? So I know it's the Lord. I know it's just the Lord in my life. I know it's the goodness of God in my life. We get things mixed up with blessings. So if we don't have a lot of things, we think we're not very blessed. And that's what I'm trying to break off of you is the blessing of the Lord is an intangible thing that you have to mix faith with that affects tangible things. And the tangible things can come and go, but not the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is irreversible. It cannot be reversed. When God blesses something, it's blessed. When he said to the whales, multiply and reproduce, it can't be reversed. When he said to the birds, multiply and reproduce, it can't be reversed. It's a blessing. Now, here's what he said again, verse 22. "Speak unto Aaron, unto his son, saying, on this wise," or "this is how you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." He said, just say it. Just say that over them. Now, everybody say, I love Brother Dwayne. Okay, we're all ready. I got to be careful here. There's a lot of things in Catholicism I do not believe. But I do believe there's people that are practicing Catholics that do know Jesus and have asked Jesus into their heart and are saved. And I do believe that a couple of Baptists are saved. I know there's one in heaven, John. I have to believe there's got to be one more. There's some Pentecostals I'm praying for. Now, are we all okay? A lot of times we'll look at another group that doesn't believe things like we believe, and we tend to, with a broad brush, discredit everything about them. Are you with me? That's not wise. I may differ with my Baptist brethren in some areas, but there's a lot of things the Baptists have that are right. That's hard on some of you, just going... So I won't give any more illustrations lest we have a meltdown. While there's a lot of things in Catholicism that I'm not even going to touch, it's really bad stuff. Not everything in the Catholic Church is heresy. One of the things you don't see in Protestant churches that we lost through the centuries is the priest or the man of God or the delegated authority on God's behalf blessing you. We may need to reconsider this that we've seen in movies even, or that we've seen in the Catholic Church where someone will go up to a priest and say, Father, bless me. Where'd that come from? Is that cultish like maybe some other things? Is that wrong? Is that maybe in the Bible? Maybe in the Bible, spiritual authorities ordained by God knew how to bless the people, and that to bless the people is to extend God's forgiveness and favor to them. And to bless God's people is to remit their sins. You know, I can't forgive your sin. Only God can forgive sin. But Jesus breathed on the disciples and he said, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. That's in the Bible. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Now that would take some teaching, and a lot of bodies aren't even prepared for that teaching. Because there is a place in remitting sin and retaining sin with spiritual authorities in the church. Paul retained a man's sin one time in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he and the church leaders turned him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of judgment. Now that's heavy. Come on. That's heavy. We don't need to be doing stuff like that unless we know what we're doing. I can't forgive your sin, but did you know if you call me and Stan pastor and Steve in this house as an elder, we have the authority by God to remit your sin, which means just put it in remission. In other words, kind of like cancer. You've heard someone say, hey, it's in remission. That doesn't mean it's gone. It means it's not killing you now. It's in remission. As elders in this house, we can remit sin in the sense of we can pray for you, we can sanctify you, and keep the sin that you're struggling with seeking God to get out of from killing you. That's called a blessing. Yeah, he said, here's how I want you to bless the people. Bless the people saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And he's put his name on your heart. Bless me, pastor. What does that mean? I want to bless you tonight. What does that mean? I want to speak an empowering word from God that if you'll mix faith with it, it's an intangible thing that'll change every tangible thing in your life. Think about blessing God's people by saying, the Lord bless thee. Aren't you glad you're blessed by God, not cursed? Amen. I need to remind you that and bless you. God's blessed you. God's blessed you, and he will bless you. That's the last part. God's blessed you, and he'll keep you. Aren't you glad you're kept by the power of God? Aren't you glad you're secure in Christ? Aren't you glad that he's overseeing you and that he's the author and finisher of your faith? Aren't you glad he begun a work in you and he'll complete it unto that day? The Lord bless you and keep you. I like this one. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord show you that he likes you, that you bring him good pleasure. He makes his face to shine upon you. You talk about blessed. I'm just blessed. I am so blessed because I went to church for years and I thought in my heart, Kenny's here, and boy, God looks at Kenny and says, man, I'm so happy to see you. You make my face shine. Stan's here, and God sees Stan at church, and God goes, man, you just make my face shine. You're my good pleasure. I like you, Stan. Then God look out over the crowd, and God would see me, and he'd go, uh-oh, you're here. Come on. Come on. You're laughing. Some of you aren't laughing. And it isn't because it wasn't funny. It's because you feel that way. Some of you are laughing because you remember you used to feel that way. That you were like a second-rate citizen in the kingdom. I'm saved, but I'm certainly not the best. God makes his face to shine. Tell them, tell my people that I make my face shine upon you. I find pleasure in you. And that I'm gracious unto you. Oh, gracious is kind. I hate to call people out, and surely Stephanie, she wouldn't be embarrassed or mad at me. She might be a little embarrassed, but I just like being around her, and I know she has to have a bad day. I know. Come on. Y'all know where I'm going. I know she has to have a bad day. She has to get mad. I know she probably screams at Toby. But she is so kind and just sweet. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I have to work at being kind. Okay, that's no surprise to you. Come on, we're all kind by the Spirit and we're all want to be kind, and we all try to be kind to each other, don't we? Okay. You're not being very kind right now. She just, by nature, is just like she's kind. And do you know God's really that way? God says, be sure and tell them I'm gracious to them. That I like them. I don't just love you. I like you. And I'm kind. And I'm gracious. And oh, by the way, tell them that when I see them, I lift my countenance upon them. Oh, I like that. I like that. You talk about being blessed. If you really believe, I mean, you really believe and you feel it deep in your entire being, that when God sees you, he goes. See, I've looked at everybody. I've looked at everybody. But see, if Sue would have flew down here, if the pilot would have went back and got Sue and brought Sue down here without me knowing, I'm preaching like this. I'm looking at Melissa. I'm looking at Pam. I've looked at Stan. I looked at Toby, hoping he's not mad at me. Right? Right? I'm looking at you now, right? But if Sue walked in the door, here's what would happen. I'm preaching, and I would go. Right? She stands out in the crowd. She's special. I lifted my countenance upon her. I've been a Christian since 1965. That is pre-dinosauric. And I'm telling you, for years, I did not believe God lifted up his countenance upon me. I wasn't blessed. I didn't feel blessed, and I didn't act blessed. When the blessing of the Lord and the revelation of it and how God blesses and how it's faith, it's just simple faith, and I begin to believe in mixed faith that God lifts his countenance upon me when he sees me. Oh, my gosh, it changed everything. It changed everything. See, I believe with all of my heart, God's got my picture in his wallet. And see, I tell people all over the world, God loves you, but I'm his favorite. And they get mad. Religious people really get mad when I say God's got my picture in his wallet. Who does he think he is? He just rah, 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 rah. What they don't understand is he's got your picture in there too, dummy. He just ain't showing everybody your picture because of your attitude. He shows everybody my picture. That's my boy. Now, the devil's got my poster in his post office. And recently, I think I've made the top 50 that he's trying to get rid of. So there's a balance in what I'm saying. Sometimes I don't want God bringing my name up when he's talking to the devil. That's when I believe your picture's in his wallet. I don't want him saying, have you considered my servant Dwayne? No, that's you. Your name is coming up now. How many people have a blessed paradigm? How many people believe that God has written his name? You tell them I've put my name on them. You know what that means? That means when God sees you, he sees you in Christ, and he loves you and sees you as if you were Jesus. He doesn't look at Jesus and say, here, boy, here's my son, and then we're somewhere way down here. He's put the very name of Jesus on you. Now we're talking blessed. We're talking the blessing of the Lord to get to carry and use the name of Jesus. Like in marriage, I come to you tonight not in the name of Dwayne. Nothing's going to happen. But if I come in the name of Jesus and I speak his blessing over your life by faith and you mix faith with it, neither one of us are going to be the same a year from now. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 10. I forgot to start my clock. I'm sorry. How am I doing on my time? I just got started. Amen. Mark chapter 10. I saw this years ago because the Lord was ministering to me. I'm blessed. And he's blessing me. Because I haven't mixed faith yet with all the promises of God. So there's more blessings coming. I've mixed faith with some of the blessings, the promises of God. But I'm mixing faith every day with the blessing. And so I'm blessed and I'm being blessed. In Mark chapter 10, as the Lord began to share with me personally, I'm blessed and He's blessed me. The revelation of how I got to bless my children exploded in me. Because I didn't grow up in a home where the father blessed the children. And when you aren't blessed by your father, it can have catastrophic negative effects in your life. You'll recall Esau and Jacob and how Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And Jacob got the blessing. And Esau cried. And we don't have time to go to it in the book of Genesis just because of time constraint. But he cried out and he said, "Oh, my father, don't you have at least one blessing?" Remember that? He lost his birthright. He lost a blessing to Jacob. And he cried out in tears, "Don't you just have one blessing?" And then Isaac blessed him with a lesser blessing than what Jacob had, because once you are blessed, once God blesses you, it can't be reversed. That's an exciting word. Because it can only be aborted by you through doubt and unbelief, but it cannot be reversed. Nobody can stop the blessing of the Lord in my life but me. Nobody. And what God showed me was we have an entire generation out there that's crying out for a blessing. They want to be blessed. And because the church hadn't known how to bless and build even generational blessings, then the world's trying to get blessed outside of God, and they can't and they won't. So God began to share with me, "I want you to bless your children." What does that mean? I want you to speak my word over them. I want you to speak my promises over them. I want you to affirm them. Everyone needs affirmation. Even Jesus, when he was baptized and about to go into ministry and he came up out of the river, the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove, and an audible voice from heaven was heard by everybody standing there, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Father publicly affirmed the Son and said, "I'm pleased with my boy." We all rise to the expectations that are put upon us and words spoken over us. And you can't speak too much of a blessing over your children. You can't speak too much of greatness over your children. You can't speak too much positive over your children. You need to keep telling them you're going to possess the gates of your enemy and you are going to prevail in all things. Your name is going to be great and you're going to be blessed and you're going to be a blessing everywhere you go, boy. Yes, you are. You are destined for greatness. You can't imagine the effect that has on a child to speak like that over them constantly, a blessing. Everyone in here knows the effect of speaking a curse over them. Many of us have lived it. Your parents might not have cursed you. When I say speaking a curse over you, I'm not talking about cussing your kids. We're smarter than that, aren't we? You don't cuss your kids, do you? Okay, it gets quiet again in this Full Gospel Presbyterian church. But I didn't think I had to tell you that. Don't be cussing your kids. Okay, let's get that out of the way. Now, a lot of people don't cuss their kids, but they speak curses over them. "You're never going to amount to a thing. You're just like your mama." Now you cursed both of them. Come on. "I've seen your kind before. You're never going to achieve." Just speaking death over them. The power of life and death are in the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, look at what Jesus did with kids. Because we need to do this with kids. Our kids, personally and corporately. In Mark chapter 10, look at verse 13. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them." Now, let's back up again. There is a proper touch and an improper touch. Just like, how many of you ladies can help me out with this? There's different kinds of hugs. There's a hug that's a hug, and then there's a hug that is a hug. Sue knows when I hug her and it's a hug, and she knows when I hug her and this ain't over. Am I telling the truth? Because of the perversion in the culture, many of even God's people have backed up so far that they don't know the power of touching your children, of hugging your children. I have three women in my home right now. I live with three women. Don't tell me I'm not a great man of God. There's times there's so much estrogen running, I don't know if I'm gonna make it. I know something about women, I can tell you that. And you mark my words, when a couple has a fight and a little bit of an argument or a tiff, a woman inevitably, if the man reaches out just to touch her hand, she'll say, "Don't touch me." Now, why does she not want you to touch her? Because if you touch her, you'll soften her heart, and she's mad, and she wants to stay mad a while. Somebody ought to write a song. So she says, "Don't touch me." Why? Touch does something to the heart. Just like an improper touch can damage for a lifetime, the proper kind of touch, hugs, holding their hand, is amazing what it does to children. He says, watch this again. I'm sorry, I read two words and get excited. Verse 13 says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it," I love this, "he was much displeased." I love that. "Much displeased. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Now look at verse 16 in Mark it. "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Do you know when you get hands laid on you, you're getting a blessing? You're getting a blessing. When we lay hands on the sick, we're blessing them. Jesus touched these kids and blessed them. How do you think he blessed them besides just touching them? He spoke over them. He told them what he just told the deadheads. "You are as the kingdom of heaven. You are precious to my Father. You came from my heavenly Father." He blessed them. Look at Luke, and I'll quit. There's just nowhere to quit, but look at the book of Luke 24, because I had never been taught this. Luke chapter 24, we're all familiar with Jesus' ascension. He was raised from the dead, but he didn't ascend for 40 days after the resurrection. He went to heaven, but he came back, and he stayed here for 40 days and taught his disciples some final things before he ascended. And Acts chapter 1, Luke wrote the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 1 is where I always started when I studied anything about the ascension, and it has some things to say about Jesus ascending up into heaven. He told them what they were to do, and then he ascended. But look at this, what Luke said in his gospel, Luke chapter 24, verse 50, and I find this fascinating. Luke 24, verse 50, "And he led them out," those are his disciples, "and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." He didn't give them a Cadillac. He didn't buy them a home. He didn't. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Verse 51, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. As he's going up into heaven, he lifts his hands out and just blesses them. He's leaving, and he's blessing them. He's speaking over them. "I love you. I'll be back. It's all going to be okay. I trust you. You're going to do well." And he's getting further away and further away, just blessing them as he leaves. Man, the Lord has been good to us and blessed us. He has spoken over us. He has lifted up his hands over this house. and bless this house. And we need to mix faith with it and see the intangible blessing of the Lord affect every tangible thing in our life. Amen. Amen. Well, were you blessed? Amen. Amen. Well, let me pray for you. I love you dearly. Let's stand.